Ladies and gentlemen, the following segment of the podcast is presented exclusively by Hillsdale College. Now, in its 175th year, Hillsdale is a truly independent institution where learning is prized and intellectual enthusiasm is valued. Thank you for listening, and my sincere appreciation to Hillsdale for their sponsorship.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin, our number is 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. When we did our show on Friday, I played for you audio of the FBI director, Christopher Wray, on NPR, pointing out that the slaughter that occurred around Atlanta, in which 8 people were murdered, including 6 Asian Americans, he pointed out that as best as they could tell, it was not racially motivated. That the killer who did this was motivated by some perverse sex ideas and other issues as best as they could tell so far. But Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the Democrat Party and the media insisted otherwise. And while Joe Biden was in Atlanta for another matter, he canceled that matter, and he had a rather remarkable statement to make after Kamala Harris did, where they talked about how America is systemically racist, systemically xenophobic. And they went on and on about what a hateful people we are. And what they mean is the majority in this country. Let's be blunt. By hateful people, they mean the majority. And yet, as best as we can tell, even today, this had nothing to do with race. Then we have another horrific murder spree in a grocery store in Boulder, Colorado. The mass murderer's name is Ahmad Al-Alisa. And his family's from Syria. And we have no idea what the identity of most of the people are in this slaughter that occurred in Boulder, Colorado. We do know this wonderful police officer, Eric Talley, had a wife and 7 children, was killed as he rushed into the grocery store, not knowing what would meet him, and was basically shot dead. Of the 10 people, 3 of the people were employees of the grocery store. I have no idea what the race of these people is or are. I suspect most of them are white. Now, why would I say such a thing at a time like this? Because otherwise, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and the media would be telling us, wouldn't they? This is how pernicious how pernicious the Democrat Party and their agenda has become. We don't look at each other as they wish us to look at each other. They demand that we look at each other based on physical characteristics. And then they condemn you if you do. And the media have played a role in this as well, because they hype it. They hype it. Joe Biden immediately is talking about banning weapons. He's not talking about race tonight. He's not talking about the background of the shooter and the background of the victims. Why not? This is what's become of our country. This is what's become of broadcasting. This is what's become of newspapers. Some topics are okay, some topics aren't. And the topics that are okay are the topics that drive the left's narrative. Topics that aren't okay are the topics that don't drive the left's narrative. Meanwhile, 18 people are dead from the two killings. We know the race of some of them and not the others. Why do we care? It's very, very important for Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and the Democrat Party to exploit us as a people. When they talk about unity, they mean the opposite of unity. They mean tribalization. They mean balkanization. They went down there to Atlanta, and they decided to racialize a mass murder. They lied to stoke the flames. One wonders if they were a talk radio host, what the executives and the board of directors would say about it. They'd probably go along with it. Meanwhile, in addition to Officer Talley, others have been identified: Denny Stong, Devin Stanisic, Ricky Olds, Trilona Bartkowiak, Suzanne Fountain, Terry Leiker, Kevin Mahoney, Lynn Murray, and Jody Waters. Ages 20 to 65. And so ask yourself, CNN and MSNBC. Ask yourselves, CBS, ABC, and NBC. Ask yourselves, New York Times and Washington Post. Ask yourselves, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, are you not ashamed of yourselves? The inhumanity that you spew? Don't you despise politicians and reporters, ladies and gentlemen? Don't you despise them these days? Don't they make you sick to your stomach? They fix nothing and they exploit everything. And so now, the great debate, gun control and banning guns. When in a single weekend, 10 black young men are slaughtered in any one of our major cities, you hear almost nothing about it. Because it doesn't promote the Democrat Party and the left's narrative. It just doesn't. Black-on-black crime, which is the worst crime in this country in terms of statistics, it doesn't promote the media's narrative. It doesn't promote the Democrat Party's narrative. And what have they done about it? You have gun bans all over the place in Chicago and Philadelphia, in New York and L.A., in Detroit. What does it do? It doesn't do anything. It doesn't do a thing. So the politicians will have an answer. They always do. They have their narrative. They have their propaganda. Do that in most instances that will have no impact whatsoever except on you. Except on you. Maybe it would help a little bit, and here's one they're not going to like. Maybe it would help a little bit if they not only toned down the race baiting, which they won't, because they're fully into the critical race theory and balkanization and the white supremacy narrative. But maybe if they would show a little bit more respect for human life and talk about those people who were murdered in Atlanta as individual human beings. Maybe if they would take their foot off the gas pedal when it comes to gun control and gave a second's thought to the people who died in Boulder, Colorado, it would have an impact. Maybe if they weren't so obsessed, almost a sick lust for abortion, in which human beings, little babies, are treated as if they're not human beings. They're just images of a fetus, whatever that means. And the right to choose whether or not to snuff out that life. And with your tax dollars, maybe if they would show a little bit more humanity, that would help. But don't count on it. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Hillsdale College serves four purposes: learning, character, faith, and freedom. Education and faith thrive in freedom, and freedom requires an educated people of good character to preserve it. Hillsdale College has been providing the education needed to preserve free government for over 175 years. It continues these efforts today. Not only its 1,500 undergraduate and graduate students, but nationwide through its free online courses, its support of classical K through 12 charter schools, and its other outreach efforts on behalf of liberty. Hillsdale's Articles of Association, dating way back to 1844, commit the college to preserving civil and religious liberty through the provision of sound learning. This learning includes the Constitution and the laws of nature and nature's God, as described in the Declaration of Independence. It includes America's great heritage of liberty that too often today is falsely derided or denied. Hillsdale's motto: pursuing truth and defending liberty since 1844. It will continue to fight to live up to that motto, come what may. Learn more at levinforhillsdale.com, L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com, levinforhillsdale.com.
This killer, apparently, the early reports are from witnesses, would walk up to one person at a time, he wasn't spraying any weapon, and execute them. One or two shots at a time. Except for some older gentleman who's apparently sitting in his car outside, and he shot him over and over and over again. Over at thepostmillennial.com, Andrew Ngo, very brave young man. Liberal journalists spread misinformation about Boulder mass shooter. In the wake of a horrific Boulder, Colorado, the shootings, liberal journalists spread the false narrative that the suspect was a hate-filled white man. For instance, some of the tweets: people will continue to die just so that white men can own guns and reinforce the power they already have. Another one: the Atlanta shooting was not even a week ago. Violent white men are the greatest terrorist threat to our country. That's Mina Harris. John Pavlovitz: in America, if you're white, no matter how many people you kill, you'll be taken into custody alive. In the wake of a horrific shooting in Boulder, liberal journalists spread the false narrative that the man who carried out the shooting, now known to be Ahmad al-Issa, of a nearby town, was a hate-filled white man. Details are now emerging that al-Issa was a disturbed man with sympathies for ISIS. Andy Ngo writes, breaking: the suspect in Boulder, Colorado mass shooting, where 10 were murdered, has been identified as Ahmad al-Issa. He was first described as a white male. His social media, which is now deleted, show he was a religious Muslim who posted frequently about Islamophobia. Author John Pavlovitz assumed the man was white. Then he received preferential treatment based on his race. Author and BLM activist Mina Harris, one of the founders, deleted her tweet, which espoused hate based on man's perceived race. Rahim Kassam, our friend at the National Pulse, noted that Twitter had not taken any action despite her peddling of misinformation. Harris then wrote that she had deleted her tweet based on false assumptions. Journalist Jaeed Jalani also called out Harris's assumption, saying that most shootings in the U.S. are not committed by white men, that in fact a remarkably low number of people commit acts like this at all. Jalani states that this fact is more important than the race of the shooters. Singer-songwriter Denisha Carter suggested that there might be a word for the act of making an assumption about another based solely on their race. Jack Posobiec, who was one of the first to report ISIS sympathies per a White House source, noticed that Twitter itself was spreading disinformation since they too assumed that the shooter was white and compared his treatment by law enforcement to other white male suspects at the center of recent shootings. Activist Dr. Oney Blackstock used this incident to speak against white men owning guns to reinforce the power they already have, quote-unquote. Author Francis Maxwell made similar assumptions and compared the officer's response to Al-Aissa to the death of Elijah McCain. Here we have this hero officer. Amy Siskin went from disparaging the shooter for being white to saying not to pay attention to him at all since it was revealed that he is Muslim. I'm just reading what's here. One journalist who prides himself on debunking misinformation, user Hassan Rezvi, spread misinformation on his own. The instant reaction of leftists on Twitter who simply made this assumption are nearly infinite. The suspect, Ahmad Al-Aissa, was taken into custody on Monday afternoon and has been charged with 10 counts of first-degree murder. An officer shot him during the process of his apprehension. He's taken to the hospital and pronounced to be in stable condition. That's too damn bad. And, of course, last year, Colorado, being so progressive and humane, eliminated the death penalty. So the mass murder of 10 will not face the death penalty. It's like the clowns who've taken over Richmond, Virginia. We call them Democrats, are eliminating the death penalty, too, as they move through these formerly Republican states and destroy them one after another. I hear politicians and journalists, so-called, all frauds, all to be despised, go on TV and say, how are we ever going to end this? We're never going to end this. Let me be clear. Let me be the most honest person with a microphone. We are never going to end this. You can pass all the laws you want. There are evil people. There are insane people. God knows what drives them. And just because you have people fill out paperwork and send it in order to get a weapon, or you try and limit the looks of the weapon, or how many weapons, or what kind of weapon, doesn't mean they're not going to get it. Laws are broken in this country and every other country all the time. The Democrats should know this. Look what's going on at the southern border. The president of the United States, they call him Joe Biden. I call him an idiot. He doesn't care what the laws are, and neither do the people who are crossing the border. They're breaking the law. The people who rioted all summer long, they didn't care what the law was. And as a matter of fact, the Democrat Party, the media, which of course are one and the same thing, defended what they were doing. Attacked law enforcement, the same law enforcement that brought this mass murder to heel. They attacked them, and they attacked the president who tried to put an end to it, Donald Trump. So let's not play games here. This is the truth that I'm speaking. More when I return.
Hillsdale College serves four purposes: learning, character, faith, and freedom. Education and faith thrive in freedom, and freedom requires an educated people of good character to preserve it. Hillsdale College has been providing the education needed to preserve free government for over 175 years. It continues these efforts today. Not only its 1,500 undergraduate and graduate students, but nationwide through its free online courses, its support of classical K through 12 charter schools, and its other outreach efforts on behalf of liberty. Hillsdale's Articles of Association, dating way back to 1844, commit the college to preserving civil and religious liberty through the provision of sound learning. This learning includes the Constitution and the laws of nature and nature's God, as described in the Declaration of Independence. It includes America's great heritage of liberty that too often today is falsely derided or denied. Hillsdale's motto, pursuing truth and defending liberty since 1844. It will continue to fight to live up to that motto, come what may. Learn more at levinforhillsdale.com, L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com, levinforhillsdale.com.
Mark Levin, the research arm of conservative media. Call in now, 877-381-3811.
Maris Herold is the police chief in Boulder, Colorado. And let's hear what the chief had to say. Cut one, go.
Regarding the suspect, at approximately 2:40 p.m. on Monday, March 22nd, officers were dispatched to King Soopers on Table Mesa Drive. Officers arrived on the scene within minutes and immediately entered the store and engaged the suspect. There was an exchange of gunfire, which suspect was shot. No other officers were injured. The suspect was taken into custody at 3:28 p.m. He was transported to the hospital for treatment, now in stable condition. This suspect has been identified as Ahmad Alyssa, 21, of Arvada. He has been charged with 10 counts of murder in the first degree and will be shortly transported to Boulder County Jail. Press release with his identifying information, the victim's information, will be forthcoming.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, as I say, they eliminated the death penalty in Colorado. So once you murder the first person, if you have an evil mind, if you're unstable and unhinged, you might as well just keep going. Because you're going to serve life. What's the difference? Life times 10. People say the death penalty is not a deterrent. Well, surely it's a deterrent to some. But I believe the death penalty, ready for this, is society's moral reaction to an evil individual like this, who has taken steps to kill as many people as he could until the brave men and women of law enforcement charged into that grocery store, the first one being Officer Talley, who was killed. It's times like this where we don't hear from the cop haters. They're absolutely silent all over television. They're absolutely silent within the Democrat Party. This is why I've come to really despise politicians and despise the press, because they're liars and they're exploiters and they're undermining this society. Now, Joe Biden, as I said last Friday, and Kamala Harris, they jumped in front of the Klieg cameras and the microphones to talk about how racist America and xenophobic America was targeting Asian Americans. When, of course, it was the left at Harvard and their admissions policy that was targeting Asian Americans, but that aside. And so they want you to believe that this is such a hate-filled nation that the white majority, that's just, you know, I really hate to even have to get into this, but the white majority is basically a white supremacist majority. This is all new. This is really quite sick. But this is what the Democrat Party has become. Whatever it takes to gain power and hold power and change the nature of this republic from a competition between parties and ideas to crushing anybody with whom they disagree. And so Joe Biden today couldn't wait. He didn't have any of the facts, let alone all the facts surrounding this, and immediately says this, cut to go.
I want to be very clear. This is the one thing I do know enough to say on in terms of what's happened there. While we're still waiting for more information regarding the shooter, his motive, the weapons he used, the guns, the magazines, the weapons, the modifications that apparently have taken place to those weapons that are involved here, I don't need to wait another minute, let alone an hour, to take common sense steps that will save the lives.
So he's got his narrative. He had the narrative in Atlanta, has a different narrative here. Nothing about race, nothing about who killed whom, nothing about any of that. His narrative here is, I don't have to wait for the facts. I don't really care. And he goes right into this. And this is how he intends to unite the nation. This man's not a statesman. We have in the office of the presidency a man who is one of the least qualified men to ever be in the office of the presidency. You know, Obama was too, but you look at him. He was a failed senator for half a century. He used his position on these various committees to try and destroy the character of individuals with whom he disagreed, and he's still doing it. He did nothing profound, and so the exploiters, they get up and say, we have to do something, we have to act, we have to do something. And that something involves you. By the time we're done, if they had their way, your guns would be confiscated. If they had their way. If they had your way, your passports would indicate whether or not you've been vaccinated or not. And all this medical information would be available to all the cyber criminals out there, foreign and domestic. If they had their way, many of you would be replaced by illegal aliens. If they had their way. Go ahead.
I urge my colleagues in the House and Senate to act. We can ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines in this country once again.
These are not assault weapons. These are rifles. You pull the trigger and one bullet comes out. I want folks that don't understand weapons and don't have weapons to understand this. We're not talking about machine guns. We're not talking about automatic weapons. They're not assault weapons. They're used for target practice. They're used for hunting. They're used for protection. They're not built to use as assault weapons. This is the pejorative that's been given to them because the left tries to steal the language. So many people, little triggers go off in their brain cells, and it's, oh, it's an assault weapon. Well, you shouldn't be able to assault people. No, I agree. No assault weapon. It has nothing to do with that. It functions exactly as a pistol. You pull the trigger and one bullet comes out. You pull the trigger again, another bullet comes out. It's not an assault weapon. And of course, the vast majority of people who are killed in this country by weapons are killed by pistols, not rifles. Go ahead.
I was a senator. It passed. It was law for the longest time. And it brought down these mass killings. We should do it again. We can close the loopholes in our background check system.
I don't know the loopholes. Is that what happened in this instance? No, there was no loophole that I'm aware of. I don't have all the facts. He doesn't have all the facts either. My understanding from what I'm reading here is he bought the gun legally, Mr. Producer. So there was no loophole. Something happened along the way. There needs to be an investigation. We need to find out what happened. Family members are saying that he had psychological issues, and yet we have laws in this country, the HIPAA laws, that don't allow the sharing of that information. So there's all kinds of complexities here. It's not so simple. It's not so simple. And you think to yourselves, what kind of law can you pass that would prevent this? Remember Timothy McVeigh? He never used a pistol. He never used a rifle. No assault weapons and so forth. He blew up the building with fertilizer and other chemicals. He blew up the courthouse. He blew it up. It's just the answers they have. They're just so quick. Go ahead.
Loophole. That's one of the best tools we have right now to prevent gun violence. The Senate should immediately pass. Let me say it again. The United States.
All right, that's enough. And if the Senate immediately passes it and it doesn't work, because it won't, then what? Should immediately pass something else? Part of the problem is Biden's credibility. He has none. What they did with the $2 trillion bill 10 days ago was appalling. The things they snuck in there, people just don't trust him. Many of us, I don't. Remember we talked a little bit about, and we're going to talk more, actually a lot about, the $3 trillion next spending bill they have in mind. Guess what? In 24 hours, it's now reached almost $4 trillion. It's now almost $4 trillion. I want you to think about it. This is in addition to a budget. So during the pandemic, $4.1 trillion was spent. They just passed $1.9 trillion. By my calculation, that's $6 trillion. If we go to $4 trillion, that's $10 trillion. And what people forget is the Federal Reserve has put out and was authorized to put out $6 trillion in loans. That's $16 trillion. In 1 year, on top of a $4.5 trillion budget. And what they want to make sure is it isn't just in 1 year, that it happens year after year after year after year. I heard somebody repeat something I said the other day, not a surprise, Mr. Producer. And I said, what's the point of all these taxes anyway? We couldn't raise taxes enough. Remember I said, you can take every penny from every American, you still won't have enough money to pay down this debt. Remember? So what's with all the tax increases and the wealth tax and all? If you understand Marx and neo-Marxism, then you understand what's going on. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Hillsdale College serves four purposes: learning, character, faith, and freedom. Education and faith thrive in freedom, and freedom requires an educated people of good character to preserve it. Hillsdale College has been providing the education needed to preserve free government for over 175 years. It continues these efforts today. Not only its 1,500 undergraduate and graduate students, but nationwide through its free online courses, its support of classical K through 12 charter schools, and its other outreach efforts on behalf of liberty. Hillsdale's Articles of Association, dating way back to 1844, commit the college to preserving civil and religious liberty through the provision of sound learning. This learning includes the Constitution and the laws of nature and nature's God, as described in the Declaration of Independence. It includes America's great heritage of liberty that too often today is falsely derided or denied. Hillsdale's motto, pursuing truth and defending liberty, since 1844. It will continue to fight to live up to that motto, come what may. Learn more at levinforhillsdale.com. L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com, Levin for Hillsdale.com.
So we have a new senator, unelected but appointed, Alex Padilla of California. It says, we have our priorities entirely backwards when it's easier to buy a gun than to cast a ballot. I'm so sick of these demagogues, you have no idea. It's not easier to buy a gun than cast a ballot, but what does one have to do with the other? I'm telling you, we are surrounded by tyrants, and that the Democrat Party has resorted or reverted back to form, just embracing a different kind of tyranny, but never embracing Americanism. Isn't it amazing how they went after Donald Trump trying to concoct arguments, create fictions, manufacture cases against him under the Constitution? They despise the Constitution, ladies and gentlemen. They despise it. Dick Durbin at a hearing today, we can reduce gun deaths just like COVID. Science-based solutions. Science-based solutions. So now, scientific fascism, which has served the left's purpose, in city after city, state after state, and certainly the Democrat Party. It brought them to power. So we should leave it to Fauci to decide whether or not we should have weapons. Is that what the Constitution says? Do any of them ever talk about the Constitution in that context? Richard Blumenthal, it's one freak show after another here. Congress is complicit, you see, because it won't gut the Second Amendment. Gretchen Whitmer, responsible for the death of many in her state, the governor of Michigan, Mass destruction weapons don't have a place in the common cell in this country. These aren't mass destruction weapons. It's a light rifle. That's what that rifle is. It is a light rifle with deadly bullets. And if you pull the trigger, one bullet comes out. But each time you have to pull the trigger. And one of the things, of course, we cannot say, and the media have not told us, but I will say it, and I will ask, was that another gun-free zone? Was that another gun-free zone? When somebody's walking around executing people? The Democrats want to defund the cops. There are enough cops to respond? They want to disarm you. They want to get rid of the death penalty. They want to send social workers to homes. They're creating this environment. But it doesn't stop their narrative, and it certainly doesn't stop their self-aggrandizement. That's for sure. You notice, folks, and I think you do, every day here we're fighting to retain our liberty. Every evil act, every tragic act, every medical issue, scientific issue, is interpreted in such a way or presented or projected in such a way as to attack our individual liberty. Notice politicians in Washington, most of whom are reprobates, always have the answers. How is it that they always have the answers? How is it that Joe Biden, who's never spent a day in the private sector, who's been a senator, vice president, now president for virtually his entire life, how is it that they have all these answers? And where does all this brilliance and knowledge come from? How is it that Chuck Schumer, after graduating law school, is elected immediately to the New York State Assembly, and then he's elected to the House when a vacancy opens up, and then he's elected to the Senate? How is it that they have all these brilliant answers? How is it that Nancy Pelosi, who to my knowledge hasn't held a private sector job for most of her life, if not all of her life, where do they get all these answers from? How do they know? I just mentioned three of the leading politicians in this country, each one controlling one of our elected branches, who combined have no private sector experience. None. Who combined always have the answers. Always. It's a remarkable thing. They're all Albert Einsteins. Whether it's health care, whether it's immigration, whether it's the military, whatever it is, they have the answers. They know the answers. What we're talking about in Biden and Schumer and Pelosi right now is an iron triangle of Stalinism. That's exactly what we're talking about. They hate the founders. They condemn the framers. And their ideology is tyrannical, if not totalitarian. The way they think, the way they want to conquer one branch after the other, the way they want to destroy their opponents. The Second Amendment's in the Bill of Rights. It's in the Bill of Rights. You don't just issue executive orders or ask Fauci about it or pass statutes. It's in the Constitution, for God's sakes. Just like our election system's in the Constitution, and they're targeting all of it. We have thousands and thousands of red-blooded Americans killed in this country every year. The vast majority are killed in our inner cities. And they never, ever talk about it. I'll be right back.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. We'll be taking some calls a little later in the program. 877-381-3811. 877-381-3811. You notice how Biden keeps demanding that everything happen right away? And how he keeps threatening and then using executive orders. Let me ask you a question. Is that how this country is supposed to function? Hurry up and pass the two gun control laws that the House passed. How many of you have read that? How many of you have any idea what's in it? How many of you know that they voted on it? How many of you had an opportunity to even contact your representatives about it? This was written, they both were, basically in Nancy Pelosi's spacious speaker's office, rammed through the House of Representatives, and fired over to the Senate. That is not how we're supposed to do things in this country. That is not how we are supposed to do things in this country. Biden wants everything to happen immediately, yesterday. Who the hell does he think he is? Who gives a damn what he wants? This is your country. This is our country. Those borders are our borders. People come into this country. It's the citizen who decides who comes into this country and why people come into this country. Not foreign governments. Not aliens. They don't get to decide, and yet that's happening. Why? Because it benefits the Democrat Party. That's exactly why. When you see what's going on the border, does that benefit the United States of America? Does it even benefit those children who are being abused? Oh, we hear the press is starting to get anxious. They want photos of the reception centers. How about they get off their ass, go to the southern part of the border, the Mexican side, and find out exactly what's going on? How about they use their numerous contacts in the federal government to find out what's going on? How about these media corporations bring some lawsuits and demand transparency? It really is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Really. And this race baiting is a poison to an open society like this. And Obama's at it today, too. Obama's at it today again, too. So everybody takes sides, Team A or Team B. They put on their uniforms, and this is what they do. The Democrat Party thinks their formula for permanent power is obviously to turn the Constitution into a joke, but endless balkanization and tribalization in this country. It is horrific. You do not hear Republicans talking like this. You do not hear conservative radio hosts talking like this. You hear athletes talking like this and sportscasters talking like this and executives in their boardrooms talking like this. And this isn't how most people think. It's not how most people think. You know, in the lead up to the election, I would often read from the what I call the Biden-Sanders manifesto. And I called it a manifesto. President picked up on this too. I called it a manifesto because there was so much in there that could have been in the Communist Manifesto. All about concentration and centralization of power. All about controlling the economy, controlling our energy systems. I'm thinking, who are all these geniuses who are going to be doing this? AOC? Schumer? What, are they all in the federal government? All these geniuses are in the federal government? How so? How so? And why is it more noble, more efficient, more humane for the government to run our lives than for us to run our own lives? You see, it has nothing to do with any of that. It's all about power. And the more power that is centralized, the less power you have over your own lives. Since January 20, noon plus 1 second, look at what's happened to this country. It's been turned on its head. Look at what's going on. Massive debt, massive illegal immigration with an open border, massive race baiting, the undermining of our military. And they're just getting started. They're just getting started. The war on our Constitution, it's sickening. And then look overseas, what's happened. They're aiding and abetting the Islamo-Nazi regime in Tehran, for God's sakes. You know what happened today? Communist China and fascist Russia just signed an accord, a defense accord. Every president prior to this president, and certainly prior to Obama as well, have tried to make sure that would never happen. And they would use strategies and tactics. They would use diplomacy in the military. We never wanted them to be in an accord. That's a powerful alliance. Well, today, they're aligned. Why? Because the idiot Biden calls Putin a killer. Wow, what a brave guy, Biden. And the idiot Secretary of State is stepped all over by the communist Chinese. These are supposed to be the experts. These are the experienced diplomats. You know, Donald Trump had a bunch of boobs around him. Yeah, they didn't know what they were doing. Donald Trump kept the peace. He kept Russia on its heels. He kept China on its heels. He had choked off Iran. Iran's economy was crumbling. North Korea was so perplexed, they weren't sure what to do with Trump. Meanwhile, look, the inbred that runs North Korea has his sister talk about Biden. The Islamo-Nazi regime in Tehran says, hey, thanks for all the giveaways, but we're not ready to talk. And China and Russia are now acting in a coordinated fashion against the United States. And what is Biden's idea? To promote racism in America, to disarm the American people, to destroy girls' sports in high school, to blow up such a big hole in our budget that your children and grandchildren will never recover, ever. And I know when I say that, for many people, it goes right over their heads because it's just too abstract. Well, it's not abstract when the currency begins to unravel. Then everything unravels. Everything unravels. And you think this pandemic was an excuse for the iron fist? Well, wait. I'll put my marker down now. It's too bad I have to. Wait until the currency starts to weaken. That'll make it look like a snow day. Nothing. And Biden's not done. Biden is not done. Yesterday it was a $3 trillion spending bill. Now it's a $4 trillion spending bill. He will have spent $6 trillion in less than 60 days. And it includes billions and billions on climate change. You know what that means? An attack on capitalism. Your job, your business, your wealth. More massive spending on education. Free K through kindergarten, I guess. Free. Full day. Free community college. And they want to address income inequality like the good little Marxists that they are. And they may split it into two bills. Then they want massive tax increases on people that the libs hate, of course, corporations. Let me tell these corporate bastards something. I'm done defending them. Let them defend themselves. The U.S. Chamber of Socialism is no longer the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. It's the U.S. Chamber of Socialism. It's now run by libs. The corporatists, you're on your own. When you abandoned the free market, when you abandoned capitalism, when you embrace top-down autocracy, as corporatists have in so many countries over the history of the modern era, well, then I abandon you. You're on your own, you dumb bastards. And that they are. Free speech is under attack. They side with the anti-free speech crowd. Don't use the words China virus. Why? Don't use them. Oh, okay. Don't say the election. Don't comment that the election wasn't actually won by Biden. Why? They spent 4 years on Russia. Just don't do it. These are the orders from on high. Oh, okay. Damn fools. Some of them are even in the free speech business. You wouldn't know it. The tyranny of the left. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Over 2,000 of you, my listeners, made the switch from overpriced wireless carriers to Pure Talk over the past few months. We want the rest of you to join us and to see what we're talking about. If you're with AT&T and Verizon or T-Mobile, your family could save over $800 a year just by switching to Pure Talk. You get great coverage, you can keep your phone and your number, and you'll save a fortune. Pure Talk is the top-rated wireless company by Consumer Affairs with the absolute best consumer service team based right here in America. Does that sound good? Well, it gets better. Right now, get unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data, just $30 a month. And if you go over on data, they don't charge you for it. They don't care. Go to puretalkusa.com and enter promo code Levin Podcast. Again, puretalkusa.com, promo code Levin, L-E-V-I-N Podcast. And when you do, you'll save 50% off your first month. That's puretalkusa.com, promo code Levin Podcast. Pure Talk USA, simply smarter wireless.
Well, we've done a little research here. And this is the King Soopers grocery store in Table Mesa, Colorado. Right, Mr. Producer? It's called Table Mesa. It's in Boulder, Colorado. And one of the things they list here on their online services is that they have kosher food. And further examination, they have a kosher bakery. Now, you would think, Mr. Producer, with our media out there going on about how, why did he pick this particular place? First, they said he was a white man, which he's not. His family comes from Syria. So his ancestry is Arab, and I'm not making any conclusions. But if you're the media, wouldn't you want to know why would he attack this specific grocery store? Well, why would he? Why would he go some 20 miles or more from where he lives, from his own community, to go to this store? Now, if you're a serious journalist, you don't conclude and go on the air and say he did it because of his ancestry, because of his affinity for ISIS, according to Andy No. It was reported what was on his Twitter site. And good job, Jack Daugherty, isn't that the guy's name? Dorsey, Daugherty, whatever. Good job, pal, for policing your site. But it would be something you'd want to dig into, wouldn't it, Mr. Producer? It'd be something I want to dig into. Why did he hit this supermarket? Why did he hit it? They sell kosher food and they have a kosher bakery. Again, I'm not drawing definitive conclusions, but if you're supposed to be some kind of investigative reporter, don't you want to look into this? Rather than blaming white people? Rather than automatically talking about gun control? Well, actually, if you're a reporter, you don't want to do that. You want to blame white people and talk about gun control. That's what you do. That's the narrative. But I'm just pointing this out. We'll be the first on radio, certainly, to point this out. I draw no conclusions, but I would like to know. Is Jeremy Peters still, does he still work at the Washington Compost? Do we know that, Mr. Producer? Was it? No, he's the New York Slimes. And where's Philip Bump these days? How about Jim Acosta? D. Lemon. Fredo Cuomo. Humiliating. What a family. Then let's move over to MSLSD. Andrea Mitchell? Nowhere. Brian Williams? You know, I was actually in that store when that occurred. You know, that idiot. Maybe we'll go to Al Sharpton. He knows all things when it comes to kosher bakeries and so forth. But I think it's a fair question. Why did he hit that store? Well, he's a white guy. Well, whoops, delete that from Twitter. I didn't know. Well, he's antisocial, was a little mental. Oh, okay, why did he hit that store? You can be antisocial and a little mental and not drive 20, 25 miles away to hit that store. Why did he hit that store? You know, inquiring minds want to know. My mind wants to know. I'm not making any allegation. I'm making an inquiry. Are there any investigative journalists left anywhere? Well, Andrew Ngo is one of them, and he found out that, and as did a few others, that in fact this guy did post his support for radical elements in the Muslim world. And I am not allowed to talk about this. Do you understand what I'm saying? I have to talk in only in ways that are only approved now by the body politic, and the body politic and the culture are hard left. I can only trash white people and Christians and Orthodox Jews and American citizens generally. That's the box you're in. You can't, well, I'm not trashing anybody. I have some inquiries. No, no, no. You can't question. You can't question. This is America with a K now, not a C. A-M-E-R-I-K-A. That's what's going on. So it would be logical to look into these things if you're a serious journalist, but we don't have serious journalists. We have propaganda papers. That's what we have. Propaganda rags that are dressed up as newspapers. Now, they know where their money comes from, too. The Boston Globe is now partnering with Ibram X. Kendi to create a newspaper. Who is he? He's one of the leading so-called intellectuals. Now, that's pretty funny when it comes to critical race theory. So they're going to start a publication called The Emancipator. Because we all know minorities in this country are not emancipated. It says here at The Blaze, it's the brainchild of Kendi and Boston Globe editorial page editor Bina Venkataraman. The two reportedly met last summer as nationwide protests raged on following the death of George Floyd to discuss how to take advantage of ongoing conversations about race. Then last week they announced the plans. The publication is to be styled after a historic abolitionist newspaper started in Boston in the 19th century and aims to, quote, amplify critical voices, ideas, debates, and evidence-based opinion in an effort to hasten racial and so forth. No, there won't be debates. This will be propaganda. The left doesn't allow debates. The outlet will be a one-part scholastic. Oh, great. For the schools, you know. One-part journalistic work that will feature op-ed contributions from world-leading experts and community voices captured by student journalists. And so the propagandizing goes on. Kendi, who is the founding director of the Boston University Center for Anti-Racist Research, said he hopes the new publication will be as influential as its namesake was in advancing the country toward the end of slavery. Perhaps this publication, he suggested, would lead to the end of all racism and inequality. But this guy's written extensively, ending all racism and inequality. No, no, it's equity. And it is critical race theory, which means the only way this can be ended is by ending the United States as we know it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, he is a best-selling book. I've looked at it. I know what he wants, and he knows what he wants. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin says today what the backbenchers will repeat tomorrow. Call Mark at 877-381-3811.
Some of you, when you hear me read, it's very frustrating for me. You'll hear me have to correct myself, mess up a word. There's a reason for this. I've told you before. I had a hemorrhage behind my left retina. So about once a month, I go in to have a medicine inserted into my eye. Now, how do you insert medicine in your eye, Mr. Producer? You use a needle. So that was this morning. So when that happens, I'm a little, you know, it's a little fuzzy. So sometimes I can't pick up on the words as clearly as I would like to. So I just want you to know that I'm not having a Biden. I'm having something else. I'm not quite sure what that is, but there you have it. Now, further to this publication that the Boston Globe's involved in. So the Boston Globe and the New York Times are of the same ilk. And they're pushing the same agenda. We actually have newspapers. We have massive media corporations in this country pushing the hate America agenda. And so they embrace the most radical elements in academia, the most radical authors they possibly can. And that's where this boatload of crap is coming from. These universities and colleges who are embracing this Marxist ideology. Now, this paper that they're going to create, The Emancipator, it will be guided by an advisory board featuring a host of prominent progressive writers and pundits. I wish we would learn to use the word Marxist or neo-Marxist. Including, get a load of this, 1619 Project creator Nicole Hannah-Jones, who's been widely discredited by real historians, and MSNBC political analyst Joy Reid. How could Joy Reid survive in an environment where she was busy posting homophobic and other type of outrageous posts? And then she pretended that somebody put them there. Remember, Mr. Producer? And she wanted an investigation. Well, it turns out she put them there. So MSNBC, though, they saw the talent. They see a talent when they know one, and they promoted her. She's in prime time on MSNBC now. Isn't that great? And so Joy Reid, who hates white people and homosexuals, or at least did. And I would think that most radio companies would find that offensive. Now she is primetime MSNBC, and of course is going to be an advisor on the advisory board of this new project, The Emancipator. Emancipated from what? Every one of these people have it so tough, don't they? Kendi, or Kendi, and it's not intentional if I'm mispronouncing it. Kendi has a big job in Boston at a university that he needs to be emancipated. Nicole Hannah-Jones has a big job at the New York Times. Joy Reid has a big job at MSNBC. And notice, the media promotes these radical kooks with their hate America agenda. If we had a real media in this country rather than a corrupt, ideologically driven neo-Marxist media, and they know I'm right, this would be a very healthy society with a very healthy culture. It'd be diverse, there'd be a lot of differences, a lot of debate, but that's exactly what you want in a country like this. That's not what they want in Congress, the Democrat Party. They want to ram things through. That's not what they want in the media. That's not what they want in big tech. It's not about engaging. It's not about ideas. It's not about debate. It's about conformity and enforcement. Conformity and enforcement. See, nobody on this advisory committee for this so-called publication has a contrary viewpoint. There are many people who would do a swell job doing that. Thomas Sowell, Bob Woodson, Glenn Lowry, so many. But they're not going to be permitted, you see, because this isn't about ideas, it's about propaganda. All right, Mr. Producer, I've talked enough, and I've got a lot here, more than I want to talk about. But first, let's get a caller here. Do we have an excellent caller? Do we have a lib, first of all? Libs never call this show, do they? We get anti-Semites. We get neo-Nazis. We get Klansmen. We get Mark. We never get a lib. What are they afraid of? Let's keep open a line. We'll keep our liberal line. Look, here's the main number, 877-381-3811. Then we have the lib line. 877-381-3811. That's just for you. Give me a caller, please. Ben in New York on the great WABC. Ben, go.
Hey, Mark, it's a pleasure again. I think this is my third or fourth time talking.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, it is. I consider it an honor.
Thank you.
I'm a retired cop from New York. I retired 28 years ago.
Yeah.
Thank you. And that was my pleasure to serve.
You retired just in the nick of time, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if I could be a cop these days. Hmm. But anyway, my theory on this gun control is I want to know why the conservative wing is not proposing a plan of attack against this gun control with some different ideas, such as I want them to start to expound on where there is one paragraph or one sentence in any of these gun control bills that has a consequence for the criminal, the gun carrier, the illegal gun carrier, or the person that actually commits a crime with a gun. It's not in there.
How about we have, and that sounds good. It's a little too passive for me. How about something like this, Ben? They want to federalize everything on the left. Okay, we don't necessarily want to federalize this, but how about we cut law enforcement funds to states that outlaw the death penalty? How about we start going on the offensive? How about we start making national issues that the public support us on? I was never into this criminal justice reform. The president could tell you that. Jared Kushner could tell you that. Everybody said, look at this criminal justice reform. No, no, no. I'm for victim justice reform.
Yeah.
And now crime is totally out of control. And so we must have law and order. And to have a law and order agenda, you need long sentences for violent criminals. That's it. How about another one? Any state that passes a law that gives felons, let's talk about felons who are currently felons, the right to vote, will lose significant amounts of law enforcement funds. I'm not even talking about people who've served their time. Any state that, why aren't we making proposals when I'll tell you why. Because our people are cowards. They're not forward thinkers. They really don't know what they're dealing with as this Marxist, neo-Marxist stuff is swirling around. They're making nice with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce that stabs them in the back. And they talk about, one of the things that Biden wants to do and the Democrats want to push through is that you can sue these gun manufacturers. So effectively, they think they're clever. Put them out of business and there won't be any guns. That's what they want to do. I have a better idea. How about we open up the trial bar, the slip and fall lawyers, to some federal penalties? How about we have some federal rules of civil and criminal evidence? So the very people who are attacking us, we fight back. All right, my friend Ben, thank you for your service. Thank you for your call. Matt, I don't know where Matt's from, Mr. Call Screener, but go ahead, Matt.
I'm from Montana, and I'm over-the-road truck driver. I'm on the road right now.
Nice to talk to you, sir.
The reason why I'm calling is because nice to talk to you, sir. You're a great man, and I really appreciate what you're doing. But the problem we have in this country right now started a long, long time ago. It didn't start with these mass shootings. It started before that. I grew up in Montana. That's where I'm from. I took hunter safety at the age of 12. I took a rifle to school every day on a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, I was also expelled 3 times for fighting. Never once in all those times did I ever want to go to my wall locker, get my gun, and kill anybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bunch of BS. It's a bunch of non-educated people trying to run the show. They don't know anything about guns. They don't know how they operate. They don't know what they're used for. They don't even know the terms that are used.
No, they lie. They change the terms. Look, they know nothing about guns. They know nothing about health care. They know nothing about everything. And yet they have power, so they think they can force. Look at the minimum wage. The minimum wage in Montana is a little different than the minimum wage in Manhattan, don't you think? But they don't care. They have an agenda, and it's the Bernie Sanders Marxist agenda. And they preach, oh, look at this. We're democratic socialists with emphasis on democratic. Do you see anything democratic or even more to the point, small R Republican taking place in Washington, D.C., sir?
Absolutely not.
They're all tyrants.
Absolutely not. They are. And all I have to say to Joe Biden is, you guys want my AR? Bring yours and wear gloves.
All right. Don't get carried away. They'll be tracking you down out of Washington at the Department of Justice. Drag you into a Washington jail. They let real criminals out the back. All right, let's continue. Philip, Carmel, California. Now, I must confess, Philip, that it wasn't that long ago when I said, you know, I want to live Carmel by the sea. There's not a more beautiful place on the face of the earth. And then the Democrats were going nuttier and nuttier, and I said, you know what? On second thought, I don't think so. How are you, sir?
Yeah, it's like I said, you go up the hill, it's freezing. You go down to the beach, it's sunny. Hmm. I mean, it's weird, but it's got Pebble Beach, you know about
but
that.
But you live there, not me. Okay, go right ahead.
Yeah, and I want to apologize. I am from the reprobate state of Californicopius, Californicatus. My apologies accepted. And that's close to being a
no,
liberal.
It's Californism, like communism. Californism. We'll coin a word. Go right ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I have an old saying, man. You know, the fire in the belly is, for men, it's called an ulcer. Mm-hmm. My comment has to do with, I remember specifically in retrospect when Obama stepped in front of the press after that mass shooting in Arizona of the congresswoman, a young girl, several Republicans.
Yeah, the judge. Judge was killed.
He said, oh, this guy's mentally ill. It's Bush's fault for not putting enough money in mental health. Well, why aren't they saying that now?
Interesting.
This guy is an admitted psychosexual, very disturbed.
That's the guy in Atlanta. Yeah.
Yeah. How many people like that are the Democrats creating by teaching kids in school that pornography is okay? The prostitution.
All right. I don't know if we can connect it directly to that. But you are concerned about the destruction of morals, which I think is a very important point.
You're exactly correct when you said that the moral response is when people are moral, they have a moral response, and when they are reprobate, then they have a reprobate response. I mean, I remember earlier in your show that you had mentioned that, and that is exactly right on point. What really disturbs me is.
I said something that is counterintuitive to the left and which will get them all worked up, which is, and not intentionally, is something I believe. The death penalty is a moral penalty for a mass murder. That is a moral penalty. Life in prison is not a moral penalty. You just destroyed 10 lives. You took not just the liberty, but the ability to breathe away from 10 people. What were they thinking the last seconds of their lives, the horror, the fear? That's what they had in their mind when they were taken away from their families. They will never walk this earth again. And when the death penalty is immoral, say the libs. Oh, the death penalty is immoral. So the guy gets to go through trial after trial. We go through this ridiculous system. When there's 4 billion witnesses to the same damn thing, okay. Give him his due process, but my God, to take the penalty, the death penalty away, and then to be self-righteously claiming that it's immoral? No, it's not immoral. It's exactly the right penalty. Thank you for your call. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Over 2,000 of you, my listeners, made the switch from overpriced wireless carriers to Pure Talk over the past few months. We want the rest of you to join us and to see what we're talking about. If you're with AT&T and Verizon or T-Mobile, your family could save over $800 a year just by switching to Pure Talk. You get great coverage, you can keep your phone and your number, and you'll save a fortune. Pure Talk is the top-rated wireless company by Consumer Affairs with the absolute best consumer service team based right here in America. Does that sound good? Well, it gets better. Right now, get unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data, just $30 a month. And if you go over on data, they don't charge you for it. They don't care. Go to puretalkusa.com. And enter promo code Levin Podcast. Again, puretalkusa.com, promo code Levin, L-E-V-I-N Podcast. And when you do, you'll save 50% off your first month. That's puretalkusa.com, promo code Levin Podcast. Pure Talk USA, simply smarter wireless.
All right, finally, Adam. Let's see here. Stamford, Connecticut, XM Satellite. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes, Mark. My question to you is, how many of these mass shootings with assault rifles did we have when there was an assault rifle ban in this country?
I don't know. How many?
Zero.
How many buildings were blown up when we had a ban?
That's called a strong...
I can think of at least one that killed a whole lot of people. Sir, just think logically. I know this is very knee-jerk. Just think logically. We have an assault rifle ban. You call them assault rifles. They're rifles. You pull the trigger. It's one bullet at a time. Can you at least understand that? And let's say we have a ban. Let me ask you a question. Is murder banned in this country? Answer my question. Is murder banned in this country? Are you there yet? Don't get clever. The answer is yes. Yes, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Do we have murder going on in our cities all the time in our country?
Did you ever take a debate?
Are they using... I knew this would happen. Are they using assault weapons, sir? Are they using pistols?
Who's using pistols?
The gangs are using pistols. They're not using AR-15s. See, this is the problem. You don't want to have a discussion. You want to come on here and yell. I'm asking you simple questions, and you got to sit there and think if murder is outlawed. Most murders in this country are done with pistols. Pay attention, you jerk. Maybe you'll learn something in your pathetic life. Once in your pathetic life. I said most people are killed in this country with pistols, not with AR-15s, not with rifles. And it is happening in every city, in every state in this country, every damn weekend. And your answer is to focus on AR-15s. That won't solve it. Pay attention, I said. I'm educating you. That won't solve a damn thing. Nothing.
Mark, you're not letting me talk.
Because you make a moron out of yourself. Go ahead. Talk.
No, you can use all...
You got one last chance before the clock hits. Go.
All right. How many mass murders occurred?
Stop asking me questions and make your point.
I'll give you 5 seconds.
All right, what an idiot. How many mass murders have occurred, ladies and gentlemen? He doesn't want to hear about how many murders have occurred because for him, it's winning the debate, which he can't. Because the facts are this. We have slaughter going on. Over 100 people have been murdered in Chicago so far this year. We're only into March. And that's one city. And I doubt any of them have been killed with a long rifle. But it doesn't matter to the man from the nutmeg state. All right, there we are. What can I say? We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, this final hour of the podcast is sponsored exclusively by AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. Now over 2 million conservative members strong, AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that we care about, faith, family, and freedom. Thank you for listening, and please support AMAC. And you can become a member at amac.us/join.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here, doing a little research during the break. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. I never heard that there were no mass shootings during the institution of the so-called assault weapons ban. That's because there were mass shootings. One of the biggest would be the Columbine slaughter during the assault weapons ban. And then I looked at this PolitiFact post by the Poynter Institute, which is quite liberal. And they say, on the key policy question, whether the ban drove a decline, they talked to a number of experts, and they said, you better use caution. Quote, it's pretty much impossible to prove cause and effect. That's the consensus among a number of researchers. Philip Cook at Duke University said the death toll is real, but complicated. Violence rates were quite volatile during the period generally for reasons that had nothing to do with the gun regulation. That doesn't mean that the ban was ineffective, only that we don't know and probably cannot determine the answer, given that the outcome of the interest, that is mass shootings, is so rare. So they're very rare, period. And they can't draw the conclusion. And one of the individuals who was doing an analysis, a guy by the name of DiMaggio, economist Rosanna Smart at RAND said, among other things, I don't think DiMaggio's methods are well suited for determining the causal impact of the assault weapons ban. So here we have a caller who lies on 2 points in 4 seconds, that there were no mass shootings when the so-called assault weapons ban was in place. That's a lie. It's provably false. All you have to do is go on the internet. And number two, to the extent that they can determine what a mass shooting is and what an assault weapon is, and these variables are quite complicated even for these experts, they said if it didn't decline, it pretty much held its own, but you can't connect one to the other. They just don't have the ability to make that determination. And so here we have a liberal who calls from Connecticut. Do you know how many mass murders we had when the assault ban? I said, I don't, because I don't know. None. So he lies, and he wouldn't engage. And so there you have it. We welcome liberals to call here. More than happy to talk to them. But if you're a jackass like that guy, of course I'm going to berate you. But over the history of this show, we've had liberals call here. We've had good discussions. But what I cannot tolerate is a liar. That's what I can't tolerate. And what they want to do is destroy companies that make weapons in order to prevent you from getting weapons legally. You say, it's always about controlling you, the individual. This guy in Connecticut, he speaks for tens of millions of leftists, which is, you do what I want you to do. You do what my ideology commands. No exceptions. And I assert the right, righteously, I assert the right to force your compliance with my ideology, with my belief system. And that's that. And if you don't agree with me, there's obviously something wrong with you. You must favor mass murder. You must be cold-blooded. You must be a racist, white supremacist. That's how the game goes. That's how it works. And here, just with 30 seconds of time, we look it up and we find this guy's a liar. And it's not hard to find this. It's right there on the internet. Al Gore's internet. All right, let's take another call. To whom else shall we speak? Who do we have there? Cynthia in Nevada, XM Satellite. Cynthia, go!
Yes, Mark, I think you would agree we all need to be reminded of the incident, and I believe it was a church in Texas where an armed citizen that just happened to be at the service was able to take out a potential mass murderer.
No, you're quite right.
He was armed, and that's something that we need to all be aware of. What if someone in the supermarket in Boulder had
I said that earlier. Wouldn't it have been nice if they had a weapon? This guy was literally executing people. And nobody could defend themselves. Literally executing people. And Boulder's a very liberal city. I bet they have a ban on carry weapons in these stores, or these stores have a ban. They think they're protecting people. They're not protecting people. If you're going to kill somebody, whether you're unhinged or not, you're not reading signs on the door before you walk into the place. What is wrong with people? All right, Nevada, thank you for your call. There's a wonderful site, and I use this site throughout the pandemic because it actually has smart people. It's called Statista. It is a site kind of for, intellectuals or sort of scholars. And we happened upon it. STATISTA.com. Weapon types used in mass shootings in the United States between 1982 and March 2021 by number of weapons and incidents. And here's their conclusion. Handguns are the most common weapon type used in mass shootings in the United States. with a total of 143 different handguns being used in 95 incidents between 1982 and March 2021. These figures are calculated from a total of 121 reported cases over this period, meaning handguns are involved in about 78% of the mass shootings. Not rifles and not an AR-15. That's a fact. Those are the statistics. And let's see here. That's the best I can do. To whom else shall we speak? Is there another caller? But don't worry, Schumer's out there as he's davening. You know, davening, liberal, destroy, control, centralize. Anyway, who else do we have? And they're bringing up one politician after another. I don't know about you, but when we have a mass shooting, I want to hear from politicians exploiting it and pushing their agenda. Don't you? Who is it again, Mr. Producer? Doug. On the Levin app in Atlanta, Georgia. How are you, Doug?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Mark. And thanks for all you do. And I just want to say that the Democrats and the Biden regime have spent the last 3 months vilifying American citizens and basically calling us domestic terrorists for questioning the legitimacy of the election. And what they're doing is gaslighting us, making think that we're crazy, there's something wrong with us.
By the way, didn't they spend 4 years questioning the legitimacy of the prior election?
Yes, they did.
And I don't remember corporations and boards of directors and others being nervous about that. Do you?
No, I don't remember at all.
Go ahead.
I think that this has nothing. The Democrats and these people don't care about lives. If they did, they would shut down the border because 72,000 people died last year of overdoses of fentanyl and heroin. So if they cared about people, they would shut down.
Well, they do have a funny way of showing it. They care about programs. If they care about people, they wouldn't be so obsessed with abortion and having people, their taxes tapped to pay for it. But it is a bizarre party with bizarre ideas, and they will do anything for power, that's for sure. And that's exactly what we're going through right now. I mean, look at how they're abusing the constitutional process, the representative process. But if they're doing it for the cause that these leftists believe in, that's okay. Apparently.
For them, it's okay.
It's okay. I mean, who's ever seen anything like this? You're going to have the most radical left-wing administration in American history, and they're going to accomplish virtually everything they want to accomplish in the first 90 days? What the hell is that? That's not how this republic is supposed to work. Why do we elect people to office?
No.
Why do we have different branches of government? Why do we have checks and balances? Anyway, sir, I want to thank you. We've got to be on our toes here. We've got to be resolute. And then look at the media, this stupid show, The View. All these yentas. And then look. The culture. The culture has been conquered. Now, the way you stand up to this is to turn it off, to shut off these programs, to shut off these sports events, to shut them off. Do something else. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, is one of the fastest growing organizations in America. Now over 2 million conservative members strong. And I'm one of them. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that we constitutional conservatives care about. More than talk, AMAC fights. A full-time presence in Washington, AMAC pushes back against reckless spending, disasters like Medicare for All, and the expanding reach of the federal government. And beyond advocacy, joining AMAC gives you access to a wealth of benefits and discounts, including special member-only rates on car insurance, travel discounts, cell phone plans, and a hell of a lot more. And if that's not enough, you'll get AMAC's bi-monthly magazine, full of insightful articles on issues that matter to most of us, we conservatives. As I said, I'm an AMAC member, and you should be too. Join today at AMAC.us. That's AMAC.US. Stop supporting the liberal agenda that the other 50-plus organization has been pushing for. Join AMAC instead. AMAC.US.
Now, I just looked up another detail. This is live radio for those of you fortunate enough to hear this program live. And if you can't, you can always listen to the podcast, too. If you'd like to listen to the podcast, you go to marklevinshow.com. That's the mother page. That's the big website. You click on audio rewind at the middle of the top of the homepage. That'll take you to the podcast page, and you'll pick whatever podcast you, platform you like. It's that simple. And I strongly encourage you to do that. So I'm digging around. LawEnforcementToday.com. This is an article from a little over a year ago, 2019. It's the data that the mainstream media tends to bury when it doesn't fit their agenda. According to the FBI, more than five times as many people were killed by in 2018 by knives, clubs, and other cutting instruments than with rifles. The metrics show that there were a total of 1,515 deaths by knives or other cutting instruments last year, that would be 2017. Compare that against 297 people killed by rifles. It's the gap that widened significantly over 2017. In that year, the FBI said nearly four times as many people were stabbed to death as killed with rifles. During that year, the number of murders with rifles was around 400. More than 100 more people were killed with hammers and clubs in 2018 than were killed by rifles. There were 443 people killed with hammers, clubs, or other blunt instruments. Now, this isn't just about semi-automatic rifles, that is, pull, 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 bullet, bullet, bullet. It's all rifles, including bolt-action, pump, lever-action rifles as well. Now, if you were to contrast the numbers between just semi-automatic, not automatic, those you don't get. Semi-automatic rifles, again, which means the faster you pull the trigger, the faster the bullets come out, but you don't just press the trigger and the bullets come out automatically in large numbers. That would be automatic. Just contrast the numbers between only semi-automatic rifles and knife homicides, the gap would be even greater. Here's another number. The data also shows that in 2018, there were 672 deaths from fists, feet, and other personal weapons, body parts. Once again, more than with rifles. In 2017, there were 600, this is all FBI data. In 2017, there were 692 people killed in the same way, a number larger than the total number of homicides by rifles and shotguns combined. Yet you've got Biden out there saying he wants to confiscate or ban so-called assault weapons. It's really quite unbelievable. And even a few years back, 16 million people privately owned AR-15s. Rifles are only used in a small fraction of murders committed using firearms. FBI data. They're looking at the most complete data they have. 2016 showed that more than 7,100 people were killed using handguns, that the vast majority of non-fatal crimes, including guns, also committed using handguns, as you would imagine, because you can conceal them. They're not wieldy and so forth. According to the CDC, in 2017, 6 in 10 gun-related deaths in the U.S. were suicides. 37% were murders. So most deaths committed with any form of gun were suicides. And 37% were murders. The rest were either unintentional, 486, involved law enforcement, 553, or undetermined circumstances, 338. But again, more people killed with knives, hammers, clubs, even feet than rifles in 2018. So this is important to know. Yet they keep focusing on so-called assault weapons. Why are we now trashing Governor Noem? I think she was wrong on this issue relating to girls and Title IX. She's now pulled back. She's reversed course. She wanted them to change some language. I understand that. So what are we supposed to do? Destroy her now, Mr. Producer? She's going to sign a very strong law, and she should. If she didn't, I would oppose her as well. No question about that. But she's been one of the great governors. I don't get this. I don't get this, why people try to make their cred. And, you know, I get Romney. I understand McConnell, Adam Kinzinger, and so forth. I got all that. But I was saying, Christie, no. Okay. She was a little weak on this issue, and then the legislature stepped up, and then there was public pressure. And this is over the past several days. So what are we supposed to do, destroy her now? No, I don't think so. I won't do that. I think she's been a very, very effective governor, as a matter of fact. There's other Republicans out there that don't get the attention they deserve, like Larry Hogan, this guy Baker in Massachusetts. We've got very weak Republicans in Congress, other weak Republican governors out there. So I don't believe that's how you... You earn your spurs. At least I don't, Mr. Producer. I'll be right back.
AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, is one of the fastest growing organizations in America. Now over 2 million conservative members strong, and I'm one of them. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that we constitutional conservatives care about. More than talk, AMAC fights. A full-time presence in Washington, AMAC pushes back against reckless spending, disasters like Medicare for All, and the expanding reach of the federal government. And beyond advocacy, joining AMAC gives you access to a wealth of benefits and discounts, including special member-only rates on car insurance, travel discounts, cell phone plans, and a hell of a lot more. And if that's not enough, you'll get AMAC's bi-monthly magazine, full of insightful articles on issues that matter to most of us, we conservatives. As I said, I'm an AMAC member, and you should be too. Join today at AMAC.us. That's AMAC.us. Stop supporting the liberal agenda that the other 50-plus organization has been pushing for. Join AMAC instead. AMAC.us.
This is the nation's town hall meeting, and you can join in at 877-381-3811.
I love that site, Right Scoop, and my man Brian. He's a good man. Let me give you an example of what's going on here. And it's so horrific. Our buddy William Jacobson, another great site, Legal Insurrection. Remember this fellow, the Masterpiece Cake Shop? Because he wouldn't bake a cake for a gay wedding. He had no problem with gays, but his faith said, no, I don't believe in that sort of thing. And remember how he was purposely set up? Couple went in there, they demanded a cake, and that litigation went on and goes to the Supreme Court. And then the state takes over and starts attacking him too. Now, the Masterpiece Cake Shop is on trial for refusing to bake a transition cake. So they go right back into that place. Because they want submission. The left wants submission. The left wants control. They want to crush any opposition. It's really quite outrageous. The Masterpiece Cake Shop has regular customers who are transgender, they say. The issue has to do with the message. This lawsuit isn't about discrimination. It's about freedom to disagree. And of course, that's true. It's true. So here's a little bakery that they are trying their damnedest to destroy. They want to ruin this man and ruin his business. He won that U.S. Supreme Court case. Then the Colorado state government comes after him. And now they're doing this, which they'll lose again, presumably, unless the Supreme Court totally reverses course. So it's not enough to disagree, like the caller from Connecticut. You have to lie through your teeth. But even worse, you have to destroy somebody and their business. The Masterpiece Cake Shop. Mr. Producer, I'd like you to contact the gentleman that owns that shop, and I'd like you to ask him if he would like me to mention his shop, any contact number for his shop, in case people want to order a cake all anywhere around the country. It's up to him. But I'm not going to stand by and watch somebody be put out of business like this. He's not against any of this stuff. He's not a bigot. He's not discriminating. He's just saying, I can't do that on my cake. I don't promote that kind of message. Well, you damn well better, or we're going to sue you into bankruptcy. Says, I'm not against gay people. I'm not against gay people getting married. It's just not something I believe in, so I don't want to put it on my cake. Well, you damn well better. And the Supreme Court said, no, actually, he doesn't have to. Why do they keep going into this bake shop? Why do they keep going into this bakery? Why do you think? They want to crush any divergent viewpoints based on faith or anything else, whatever it is. I don't sit behind this microphone trying to crush divergent viewpoints. I challenge them. I debate them. I'll even put them down, but I'm not out to destroy them or the people who voice them. It's like two different worlds colliding. One that actually believes in freedom of speech, freedom of ideas, freedom to debate, freedom to associate, and another one that believes in compulsion, groupthink, the common good, as opposed to individual liberty. It's just two completely different mindsets. It's really quite appalling. And here we are, Cigna. Any of you have Cigna insurance? Employees, this is the Washington Examiner. Simonson, political reporter. Employees at one of the nation's largest health insurance providers, Cigna, are routinely subjected to far-left critical race theory lessons and asked not to consider white men in hiring decisions. Not to consider white men in hiring decisions. That is a violation of federal law, by the way. According to leaked documents and chat logs obtained by the Washington Examiner, those who work at Cigna told the Washington Examiner that they are expected to undergo sensitivity training they consider racist and discriminatory. Lessons include reviews of concepts such as white privilege, gender privilege, and something called religious privilege, which is described as a set of advantages that benefits believers of a certain religion, but not people who practice other religions or no religions at all. I read this, I say, how the hell can we survive? This is why, as far as the corporations go, they can tax the crap out of them. I know it's a bad idea for us overall, but I just don't care about them anymore. We're supposed to defend them while they destroy us? As a people, as a nation? Employees say they are pressured to comply with inclusive language outlines that suggest replacing terms like brown bag lunch with lunch and learn or grab and go. Brown bag lunch? That has nothing to do with brown people, you idiots. It's a brown bag. Employers are told to avoid gendered descriptions of romantic partners or family members and not to use hip hop hooray at birthday parties so others feel included. I don't even know what that means. Microaggressions listed include questions such as, do you even know what Facebook is? And are you a nurse? What? Employees are also asked to go through a societal norms checklist and tick off boxes if they are white, Christian, or heterosexual. Uh-oh, Mr. Producer, isn't that you? Mr. Call Screener, it's almost me. I mean, I'm white and heterosexual, but I'm Jewish. Oh, they'll get around to us. Our inclusive culture at Cigna means that we're working hard to ensure everyone feels respected, welcome, and like they belong, wrote Susan Stith, the Cigna Foundation's Vice President for Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Corporate Responsibility. That's a very hefty business card. She wrote that in an internal memo. This extends to the words we use, including understanding when certain terms might be perceived as negative or hurtful, and being intentional about choosing positive alternatives. Boy, the country's having like a nervous breakdown, don't you think, Rich? This is like some kind of psycho movie. Cigna, valued in the tens of billions, boasts over 73,000 employees and offices worldwide. The company recommends employees learn more about racism by reading controversial books. No, race, disgusting, divisive race books. White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo and How to Be an Anti-Racist Man and Are Prisons Obsolete? The lessons learned from the sensitivity training seminar, some employees allege, have even extended to the hiring process. Thousands of companies openly consider diversity when giving promotions or hiring new talent. But Cigna's practices go a step further, one employee alleges. Chat logs between an employee and a hiring manager, viewed by the Washington Examiner, detailed an incident where a minority candidate with strong credentials performed exceptionally well in an interview. When that employee suggested to the hiring manager that the company waive the candidate through to the next step in the process, the hiring manager dismissed the candidate under the assumption he was white. After learning the candidate belonged to a minority group, the manager said she was excited to hire him, despite learning virtually nothing else about his background. Given the hiring practices they have in place where white male candidates are blocked, regardless of qualifications, well, another time an employee suggested a candidate with years of industry experience. That employee was informed by the hiring manager that the candidate, a white man, could not be interviewed because he didn't meet the diversity criteria. Cigna did not respond to multiple requests for comments. So now what do we do about this? Well, if Cigna is your insurance company, get rid of them. Some employees at Cigna say the internal policy of explicit quotas, the internal policy of explicit quotas is illegal. Creates a demoralizing effect in departments focused on tech or data meeting diversity requirements. Often means positions are left open for inordinate periods of time. I can't fill these positions, said one individual who described himself as a largely happy employee. One company, let's see, in the Sigma My University portal, the company offers several lessons on alleged systemic racism in American society. Much of the curriculum directly cites the contentious 1619 Project, including the now-deleted assertion in the New York Times that America was not yet American in 1619, but this was the moment it began, which is so ridiculously stupid. I can't read the whole thing. As part of our culture of inclusion, we believe employees should bring their whole selves to work, and we embrace causes that align with our values, the announcement reads. That's why we've recently updated our dress for your day policy to reflect that Black Lives Matter apparel is permitted at work. How many of you have Cigna insurance? Well, tomorrow morning, I suggest you do something about that. That's just me. No campaign. No boycott. I don't have Cigna, and I never will. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, is one of the fastest-growing organizations in America, now over 2 million conservative members strong, and I'm one of them. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that we constitutional conservatives care about. More than talk, AMAC fights. A full-time presence in Washington, AMAC pushes back against reckless spending, disasters like Medicare for All, and the expanding reach of the federal government. And beyond advocacy, joining AMAC gives you access to a wealth of benefits and discounts, including special member-only rates on car insurance, travel discounts, cell phone plans, and a hell of a lot more. And if that's not enough, you'll get AMAC's bi-monthly magazine, full of insightful articles on issues that matter to most of us, we conservatives. As I said, I'm an AMAC member, and you should be too. Join today at AMAC.us. That's AMAC.us. Stop supporting the liberal agenda that the other 50-plus organization has been pushing for. Join AMAC instead. AMAC.us.
Let's go to David, Woodland Park, Colorado, the great KVOR. David, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Dr. Levin. It is incredible and wonderful to talk to you, to hear your voice.
Thank you.
I used to be a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, stupid. I believed in the oppression. I believed in the victimology. I believed all of that junk. And even when I listened to your voice and Rush's voice, I heard it through the filter of ignorance. I heard it through the filter of just being bamboozled by the Democratic Party, by their policies. And, you know, one day a switch went off, and I started listening to you. I started hearing you. And it's because you're telling the truth, and the truth resonates through the fog of ignorance, through the fog of lies, through the fog of disinformation. It resonates, Dr. Levin, and we need your voice. We need that voice to continue, because the liberal policies want to put us, not just black people, and I'm black, they want to put us on the plantation of dependence. They want to make this whole country a country of dependence.
And look how they're trying to turn one of us against another. You know, the people I know, David, they want to get along. They're fine. They're not fixated on race. They do their thing. We all do our thing. But look how they're trying to devour us, divide us and devour us. It is pernicious.
And they're using emotion to do this. They're using half-truths to do this. And your voice, your truth, Rush's truth, Hannity's truth, Dr. Levin, if you think you're not reaching people, you're wrong. You are reaching people, sir. And you need... And the thing that we love about you is you're a fighter. I mean, you're like Iron Mike. You're like Muhammad Ali. You get in the ring and you're throwing those hooks. You're throwing those jabs. You're knocking the enemy out, sir. We need you to keep doing
it. You're really kind, David. And you know what? You made my day, and I appreciate it. Will you call us again? Call us again. I know it's tough
to
get
sir.
Through, but do. All right, David. God bless you, my friend. What a nice guy. Douglas, Eaton, Colorado, XM Satellite. Quickly, my friend. Go right ahead.
Mark, I'm honored to talk to you.
Thank you.
About 8 or 9 months ago, King Super had a campaign on the radio and the television asking people with legal to not legally carry their guns in their stores. I think that might have had something to do with the shooting. And then just the fact that it was Boulder, the guy probably figured there'd be less people who would be inclined to carry their guns there, since it is the source of everything bad in Colorado.
Yeah, Boulder's quite a liberal area, and there are a number of things that need to be looked at, including that, and I can assure you the media will not, and including the fact that the guy travels 20 or 25 miles to come there, and given his ancestry, why would he pick that place? And now we find out that it had kosher food and a kosher bakery. Again, I'm not drawing any conclusions, but I'm sure that Jeremy Peters and Philip Bump are going to want to try and figure all this stuff out. You know, they're implying that racism was at work when those poor souls were murdered in Atlanta, even though the FBI director says, at least at this point, that's not correct. But when it comes to Boulder, it comes to this murder, in Boulder, mass murder, they take a very different view of things. Of course, the first view would be, we just lost these poor souls. They're never coming back. Their families are never going to see them again. I mean, that is a horrific thought when you think about it. Douglas, thank you for your call, my friend. Now, we got to move quickly. Junior, Staten Island, New York, the great WABC. I've got 30 seconds. Go.
Hey, how you doing? I'm a police officer in New York City. And
God bless you, buddy.
It's just amazing. Thank you. I appreciate that. And what I see is that, you know, yesterday's mass shooting, obviously it deserves the attention it gets, you know, but it's obviously part of the rhetoric. But in New York City, we had 8 people shot during the summer in Brooklyn. Then just 2 weeks ago, we had 5 people shot. In Chicago, you have 15 people shot in one incident. 2 people died. Now one AK-47 was using it, and the media doesn't talk about it. Aren't those mass shootings?
You're exactly right, and the stats point it out and prove your point, but, you know, they don't care about stats. They care about the narrative and the agenda. Thank you, Junior. And by the way, great calls, my magnificent listeners. I salute all you heroes out there. And how about we do this again tomorrow, right here on the nation's national town hall meeting? God bless you.